السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن شاء الله تعالى we're going to be looking today at juz 8 of the Quran, إن شاء الله تعالى. And this is a juz. One of the themes we're going to see a lot is this idea of the devils. So I think that's an interesting theme. That I just literally came across as I was going through this in practice. There's a lot of mention of the devils, and Sheikh Ahmed Sa'd al-Azhari uses that as the basis for his analysis of this juz. But this is Surah Al-An'am. This is a Makki surah, like we mentioned. This is now a long surah engaging in a lot of detail with the mushrikeen and their arguments and their counter-arguments and their materialistic worldview and their polytheism. And so you're going to see a lot of responses and a lot of calls for, and that's where it's mostly just a surah of responses, argumentation with the, and this is the nature of the Quran. It does jidal with the disbelievers, and it does the best of jidal because it does it with hikmah and mu'idhat al-hasana. And it is the mu'idhat hasana, and it is the hikmah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then starts off the surah, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى, that even if we had sent them all of these things they're asking for, they want angels and they want the dead to speak to them, and we bring things to life and we do all of these things and we gather things for them, they would still not believe, because most of them are just ignoramuses. They're just stupid. They're ignorant. They don't have any knowledge of what is the reality of the situation, of the world, of the worldview, of the cosmos, and the metaphysical reality, because they only have the physical. They don't have the metaphysical. These are people of dunya in every sense of the word. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is our first inkling of the jinn. I'll try and point them out, but it might not be easy. But there's the first one is right here at the beginning. So وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ, that for every prophet, he's got enemies. They're devils, human devils and jinn devils. They're just deluded. They're just adorning their speech. You know, but Allah leaves them to do what they do because, you know, they're going to be captured at some point. But this is a test also. And so there's this idea of the enemies of the Prophet. And these are like very scary. I'm just thinking, you know, demonic people have always existed. And the Quran will talk about in this juz about the demons, you know, magic, who use the occult. We believe in the occult. People like don't like this anymore. They get worked up. Like now, you know, just because people have manipulated this idea of jinns to exploit people, and it's really true, it has happened, does not mean that these things aren't real. This is real. The occult is real. Jinns are real. The shaitan is real. Demonic people are real. They are industries literally propped up. The music industry is a demonic industry that is there for demonic purpose, to ensnare the souls of your children. I'm not making this up. Like people get that, oh, but you have to read about Aleister Crowley, read about the founder of the Scientology. All of these people are demonic people, and these people respect them so much, and they honor them, and they believe. So there's a lot of occultism and occult symbolism, and this is from the time of the Messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dealing with this in Makkah Mukarramah, but then the Quran carries on to talk about about there's something about food and like how you do dhabah, and you have to read the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also there's this interesting verse that I put in my presentation. وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. If you were to follow the majority of the people upon the earth, they will just misguide you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of our ulama use this as an evidence against democracy. Allahu alam, there's opinions both ways. But it's something to say about majoritarianism is not the truth. Just because everybody believes something doesn't make it true. Because the majority of the earth isn't Muslim. So if that was how we were going to play the game, and through social influence and all of these other factors, we are always numerically going to be on the back foot, but ultimately spiritually and metaphysically and consequentially, we're always winning. But the Quran is just saying, don't get it twisted, that just because you're the minority doesn't mean you're wrong. Just because every single factor of society is telling you you're wrong, they're wrong. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this interesting section from verse 122 of Surah An'am onwards. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّارِ كَمَنَاسِي كَمَمَثَلَهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا. that the one who's dead and we bring him to life and we give him a light, is he like the one who's in the darkness? Like, how the believer and the disbeliever alike? This is, and the disbeliever's just been, we just, everything he does has just been made beautiful to him. But that's not the truth. He just sees embellishment and he believes it's the truth. And when the signs come, they say, we won't believe until we get what the prophet got. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we know who we give our prophethood to. So the adabun shadid, you're going to have this immense, severe punishment for all of this cunning and plotting that you do. Then there's this beautiful verse 125. Whosoever Allah wishes to guide, he opens his heart to Islam. Muslims have open hearts. There's a happy people. We're just, even in spite of, well, now we're like miserable, but nevertheless, like, we're happy miserable. I don't know. But whosoever Allah wishes to misguide, he makes his heart constricted, as if it's trying to, it's this restless soul trying to escape to the heavens. And this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts filth. It's just this filth that they have upon their hearts for the fact that they don't believe. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on. There's another whole discussion on the jinn. Again, the jinns are back. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ قَدِ اسْتَكْثَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ. About, you know, the jinns are helping all of these people, giving them the knowledge, not real knowledge, but like the soothsaying, and they're giving them all of this information. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "An-naru mathwakum," Jahannam is your abode. You're going to stay there forever. Illa ma sha Allah, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Ya ma'ashal al-jinni wal-ins, did a prophet not come to you? You know, it's just this idea of the jinn. The jinn are being told as well. Like, you're being used by these people and you're all going to go to hell. So you need to now sort of, you need to take that seriously. Again, like, and then what are the jinn? This is, the shayateen are now influencing. This is what happens to demonic societies. Subhanallah. Like, because people are like, oh, we live in liberal democracy. We live in a shaitanocracy, in a sense. Like, it's, you know, these are very nefarious, dangerous influences. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what happens to these communities, if you carry on and look at verse. And this is the whole purpose of the surah of An'am. 136, okay, my print is a bit faded, but 136, Surah An'am, that they start to, they split, they take all this wealth and the harvest and the crops and the animals they have, and they say, oh, this is for Allah, this is for our, this is for the gods that we believe in. This is God's, this is ours. And then whatever belongs to Allah, they eat that. So they're, so even that, they have no real qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ يَصِلُوا إِلَى شُرَكَائِهِمْ. That which they ordained for God, they end up giving to the idols anyways. And then what is it that for so many of them, they have been told that they need to kill their children. Kill their children. Look at that. Kill their children. And they used to kill their daughters, bury them alive. Femicide. But infanticide, you know, abortion is infanticide. It is, you know, and you can't, there's no other way to describe it. If Allah wanted, he would have stop them, but فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. Allah leaves them. This is the paradox of free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to allow the evil to take place, otherwise there's no free will. So you have to, you can't have your cake and eat it. And then, you know, this is again, they have these animals and they block them. They say, this nobody's allowed to touch. These are the sanctified, but they're sanctified for the devils and for the idols that they worship. You know, and they don't even say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them. And then they have this thing that whatever's in this animal, only the men can have, and it's not allowed for the women to have. And then they can share it if it's like dead. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, they are losers. They have the severe loss for the killing of their children out of ignorance, without knowledge, and the fact that they make haram those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, all in the name of God, this false claim in the name of God. They are misguided. They will never be guided. There is no guidance for them. It's very, very profound. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the devils, engaging with the devil conversation and demonism and all of these things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the gardens that He's created. And gardens, the Islamic civilization took this, the idea of gardens. We spoke about, you know, fruits and gardens last time as well. But these gardens and the growth and vegetation and agriculture, there's a thing called the agricultural revolution you know, the West has this thing called the agricultural revolution. There's so much evidence to show that they all took it from Andalus. All of these cropping methods and things and fallowing and all these things they used to do, that's all from Andalus. That's what the Muslims were doing in Spain. And it just moved over. And then we got an agricultural revolution. But the Muslims were doing it before you were. And where do Muslims get this idea of working with gardens and building beautiful gardens? The Mughals used to have these amazing gardens. It's all from these verses about gardens. Jannah is a garden. They want to see a glimpse of Jannah on the earth. They build gardens. أنشأ جنات معروشات وغير معروشات والنخل والزرع مختلفا أكله. And then the fruits of the olive and the pomegranate. This is verse 142. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just talking about all the fruits and all of these blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And so this is a beautiful section that people should read. And there's this idea of the giving of animals in charity. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. And there's a lot of discussion of animals here, you know, about what they're allowed to give and what they're not allowed to give, because the mushrikeen used to have their own rules about how animals used to work for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you have no right to make these rules. Allah has given guidance on the function of animals and how they should be slaughtered and what animals are allowed, which animals aren't allowed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this list of, some people call it the commandments, but it's this list of ordainments, or I don't know what the word to use, but it's these commands really that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Now, I don't know if it corresponds directly to the Ten Commandments. I haven't looked it up, but maybe somebody can look this up and check. But this is from verse 151, that come, I recite to you those things that God has prohibited for you, and that is that you associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the original, which is the ultimate sin, shirk, to be good to your parents, to not kill your children out of poverty, right? That's a lot of time. What is it? Oh, I need my body, my choice, abortion. And then they say, yeah, I have to give priority to my professional life, to my success in business and all of these things over children. And that's just nafs, and that's greed, and that's imlaq in a sense, right? That's what they're saying. Out of fear of poverty, they kill their children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we'll give risk to both of you. Why are you worried? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ This then, I don't know what number of you are that. So it's أطلما, shirk, parents, killing of children, the fawahish, which is like zina and all of these things, don't kill, murder. Murder is number five. It's interesting, you know. The wealth of orphans, be good to the orphans. In your financial transactions, be just. Just and hold to, there's about nine here, I think. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He lists all of these commandments, He says, لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, we do not ordain a soul, or we do not burden a soul more than it can bear. And there's two interpretations of this. Number one is that we don't burden a soul more than it can bear means that you don't, everything Allah's put on you is just as much as you can handle. So just handle that. Or it's saying that Allah will only put that much on you that you can bear. So go and bear as much as you possibly can, but that Allah will take care of it. He will give you the power to take care of all the burdens and difficulties and tribulations and commands and things that you take on your shoulders of His. This brings us near the end of the surah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And so we have this discussion. I've written the Abrahamic way, and I don't know this is very amazing. It's... من جاء بالحسنة, this is, if you just fast forward a little bit to verse 160, قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم, that say that indeed I have been guided by my Lord to the straight path, دين قيمة, the upstanding religion, ملة إبراهيم حنيفة, the religion of Ibrahim the monotheist, and he was not from the polytheist. Say إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين, my prayer, my rituals like the Hajj and things, my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La sharika la, He has no partner in this. Wa bi dhalika umrit, and that's what I've been commanded to do, and I'm the first of the Muslims. This Abrahamic mandate of just complete and utter submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just performance. Akhi, don't do shirk. It's real. Everything in your life is God's. Every moment in your life belongs to God. Ala kulli shayin qadir. At every moment, at every shay that happens, it's His power that is attached to it. Anything is possible. Everything is possible as long as you believe in God. As long as you accept Him as the King of the universe, as the master of existence. That's Tawheed. Because we have people now, we call to Tawheed, and it's just, don't do Mawlid. That's Tawheed or something. It's nonsense. This is Tawheed, is this Aqeedah of divine, ultimate, overarching completely totalizing divine power. And that brings us to Surah Al-A'raf. And Surah Al-A'raf starts with the Huruf Muqatta'at. Again, remember, like we mentioned, the Huruf Muqatta'at, you see the broken letters, automatically there's something about the Qur'an. Alif, Lam, Mim, Sad, Kitab. It's the book. Unzila ilayka, the book that's been revealed to you. So don't let there be any anxiety in your heart, so that you may warn people and it may be a reminder for the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, now here Surah Al-A'raf is Makki again. So we're going to see a lot of Makkan discussion, you know, like we mentioned before. So just need to bear that in mind as we go through this. But there's a lot of emphasis in Surah Al-A'raf, and that's why the shaitan will come back on Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, so Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَاكُمْ. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَاكُمْ. I think I've mixed two things up, but I'll sort of try to make this work, inshallah ta'ala. Now, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَاكُمْ, we created you and we fashioned you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, from verse 11 of Surah Al-A'raf till verse 25. Okay, I've mixed it up. It should be, no, I've got it right. I've got it perfect. So anyways, that Allah's given you dominion on the earth. Then he talks about the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the devil refused. He said, I'm better than him. You created me from fire. You created him from clay. And then there's this arrogance, the original sin of arrogance, the original sin of shirk, the original sin of arrogance. فَقَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Look at that. Look at it. He says it's your fault. We'll come back to this. We're going to look at this again. But there's this beautiful story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and the original decision made by him to eat from the tree. And then they have to descend. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ. Don't go near the tree. فَوَسْوَسَ. The shaitan. Shaitan's back. This verse is all about the shaitan. He's back. He's come. He's whispering. And then suddenly they now nakedness. And there's going to be a discussion on nakedness. And he's making all of these promises. Shaitan is always about false promises. I'm a well-wisher. I have your best interests at heart. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُوبٍ. It's all delusion. It's all lies. They ate from the tree. Their nakedness became apparent. Now they're putting leaves on themselves to cover themselves. عَلَيْهِمَ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. These great Adam and Hawa, our mother and father, may Allah's mercy and blessings and all goodness be, they be immersed in all of that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, did I not tell you to stay away from this tree? And I told you the devil was your enemy. The devil, the devil, the devil. And then they make that beautiful dua that we'll look at, inshallah ta'ala, at the end. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And then that's the idea, the human story begins. They're on the earth now, and that's it. We're just a continuation of that original incident with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, our father, and our mother Hawa alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا بَنِي آدَم, O son of Adam, what's happened? What's the repercussions of this? Cover yourself when you wear clothes. It talks about clothing, libas al-taqwa, that's better. Don't, you know, this is beautiful, you should wear nice clothes, this amazing hoodie that I have, and this, I don't know, was it pakola? This pakhtun hat, my grandfather used to wear this, may Allah have mercy on him. But he's saying, look, libas al-taqwa, God consciousness, the clothing of God consciousness is better. Don't let the devil delude you, like he took your father and mother out of the garden of paradise, and he made their nakedness became apparent. And then there's people who do evil and they say, oh, I found my father doing this. Allah didn't command, and this Allah commanded us to do this. And that was about the mushrikeen. They used to make hajj, they used to do tawaf naked. It's all a lot of discussion on clothing here. Don't, Allah does not command to immorality. Allah, قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah, your Lord, my Lord commands to justice, to the middle way. And then he talks about going to the masjid. This is a verse that we should take some ibrah from. يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُزُوا زِينَتْكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. When you go to a masjid, dress well. That's what the Quran is saying. So don't rock up in, you know, t-shirt, you go in such that everybody can see your hairy back. It's disgusting. Dress appropriately when you go to the masjid. Have some izzah, wear a hat. You know, people, I know there was always, oh, not sunnah, bro, but it's a sign of dignity. It's a sign of honor. This is, people always used to cover their heads. And now everybody's walking around with their bare heads. It's just to be in the presence of God in a way that is befitting of the presence of God. And we will never be befitting, but we have to do our best. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've written the first to the last, and I can't actually remember why that is. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ. Every nation has its day. This is Ibrah, we have to take Ibrah from this. Every nation, you think that these people are going to live forever and they're going to do everything. They're not. They'll have their day. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ. Every nation has its time limit. When the time limit comes, nobody can delay this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who reject his signs, who do it out of complete arrogance. The jinn and ins are mentioned again. The first to the last. This is this idea that a lot of the people in the hellfire, when they're going to go in, they're going to blame they're going to blame the first generation. They're going to say it was their fault. They're the ones who put us in the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's everybody's fault. You're not going to be able to delegate the blame to somebody other than yourself. It's your fault you're there. Right? That's what the Quran is saying. So it's this interesting ruku'ah. And then we come to primarily the discussion that Surah Al-A'raf, if I'm correct, is actually about, which is the A'raf, this middle plane between Jannah and Jahannam. And the ulama have opinions on what that entails. But one opinion is that this is where the people who have deeds of equality, and some to children, and all of these, you know, Shah Waliullah and others talk about this. There's this central domain between heaven and hell, where people go whose deeds are equal, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's like a waiting room before you eventually, according to, as far as I remember, the dominant opinion, it will be destroyed and everybody from there will enter the Garden of Paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of arrogance will not enter the garden, they'll be in the hellfire. And then it talks about the Garden of Paradise, all hatred taken out of the people. And they say, قال الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا. All praise due to Allah for guiding us to this. We would not have been guided if Allah had not guided us. The prophets came, the prophets of our Lord came with the truth. You know, and this is the announcement that's going to be made. And then the people of Jannah and the people of the hellfire will talk to each other. The people of Jannah will say to the people of fire, we found our promise of our Lord to be true. Did you find the promise of your Lord to be true? They say, Naham. Yeah, we did. Because he told us, if we disobey him, we're going to go to hell. And here we are. You know? And between them, there's going to be a veil. وَعَلَى الْعَرَافِ رِجَالُ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. And upon the A'raf, this is verse 46. There's on the A'raf, there's going to be these people. You're going to recognize them. You know? They're going to call out to the people of Jannah, Salamun alaykum. And they're going to be able to see both things. So they're going to say, like, let us go there. They're going to turn and they see the people of the hellfire. They say, La taj'alna ma'al qawmi dhalimin. We don't want to go there. And then the people will ask, the people of the A'raf are just going to have this conversation with the people of the fire and the people of Jannah. There's this interesting one. They ask the people of Jannah, the people of fire now will speak to the people of Jannah saying, give us water, you know. And that's haram for them because you used to mock the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you were deluded by the life of the dunya. You forgot us. فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ. Today we forget them. كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا. Just like they forgot the meeting of this day. Their day. This is their day. وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. And what they used to reject of our signs. We came with this. We brought them the book. And it was with all the detail. فَصَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ هُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And they will just reject it. And so now there's no قَدْ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They just caused themselves loss. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just bringing us to an end on this surah, there's a discussion on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that your Lord who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And these are not days, these are just moments, like these are just, it's just giving an indication of time. You know, even like we believe according to the Quran, Surah Ma'arij, that a day of Allah according to us is 1,000 years. So already the time is different. Allah isn't controlled, A'udhu Billah, or isn't restricted by notions of time. Time is a human construct. Time doesn't exist. Remember that. Time isn't even real. About the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call on your Lord, do not cause corruption on the earth. He's the one who sends the winds with glad tidings. All of the universe, the power of the universe is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the final section of this juz, the closing few, the 4 or 5 pages are just going to be a discussion on the prophets. Just a quick whistle stop tour through the lives of certain prophets. So Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, believe in Allah, there's no God except He, I fear punishment for you. Qal al mala, the mala, who's the mala? The mala is the aristocrats, the people in charge, the head honchos. The kings and the queens and the princes and the ministers, we see you in a clear misguidance. What are you calling about? Nuh alayhi salam, what are you talking about? He says, there's no misguidance. I'm a prophet from the Lord of the universe, the cosmos. I bring the message of God. I'm giving you advice. I know things you don't know. Are you just completely baffled that a man, that dhikr min rabbikum, guidance has come from your Lord upon a man from among you? What are the interpretations? One of the contemporary ulama, he's a lovely book about Rujula. I'm going through it at the moment after Taraweeh at my local institution, the Karima Foundation. But this idea of Rajul, the Rujula of the Prophet, is being mentioned here. Are you the manhood of the Prophet? You can't handle the masculinity of the Prophet, who's come with this guidance, the power of the Prophet. They reject him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they're all drowned. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. Then to Ad, we sent the Prophet Hud. Believe in Allah. They said, we see you, you're safaha, you're a fool. That's what they say to him. A'udhu billah, the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. You're a liar. Look at that, look at the language. Somebody comes and says, you're an idiot and a liar. You get so offended. This is a prophet of God. He says, I'm not a fool. There's no foolishness with me. I just come with a message. Are you again baffled at this idea that a man from among you has come to give you warning? Remember when you were just a follower. You just came after the people of Nuh. Allah gave you all of this power and wealth. So remember the blessings of Allah. You come to us to tell us to worship one God and we to leave all of that our forefathers worshipped. Bring the punishment. Then it came. Ghadab. Inni ma'akum min al-muntazirin. And then we saved the people who believe. And we destroyed the disbelievers. Then Thamud, the people of Petra, the Arabs. I don't know where it is exactly, but I think even the Prophet ﷺ goes through the place where the Thamud used to live. Now they're like the next level. Nuh alayhi salam, Ad, and now Thamud is on another level. We sent their prophet, brother Saleh. We sent the brother because that he's from them. They know him. You know your brother. He's one of you. Worship Allah. I bring the guidance. Here's the camel, she camel. Don't touch the she camel. Let her do what she wants. You came after the Ad. They were destroyed. You're even more powerful. You've got palaces and you make houses in mountains. And they still have. You can still go on Google and type in the houses of Thamud. Remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Mala is back. They're saying, oh, this is weak. All the weak people are following you. Why should we follow you? What do they believe? Inna billadhi amantum bihi. Whatever you believe in, we disbelieve. And then they go and hamstring the camel and they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, bring the punishment. The punishment came. The rajfa, the shaking, comes. And they're destroyed. Then Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. This one's controversial because people say, oh, no, it's talking about, you know, but this is talking about homosexuality. It's just the fact of the matter. Atatun al-fahisha, you quoted this. Fahisha, this disgusting, despicable act that nobody from before you has ever done. You innovated haram of this level. You go to men with desire instead of women. You are a transgressing people. They say, kick him out. Get him out of here. He's an extremist. He's rejecting LGBTQ. They just want to be pure. What's wrong with these people? We saved everybody except the wife because the wife was an ally of the LGBTQ people. And then we caused the rain to fall upon them. But this is the idea of the rocks and everything falling upon them. And then the final prophet of this juz, وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. And to Madian we sent Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, worship Allah, got the guidance. And the sin of the people of Madian was what? Financial impropriety. They used to do financial corruption and they used to do all this trickery and conniving and just making money off everybody and abusing and exploiting. He said, don't do this. You know, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Don't cause corruption in the earth. And then, you know, there's some guidance. And we'll come back to this maybe next, tomorrow inshallah, when we look at some more of the story of Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. Some lessons. Fiqh of slaughter. We had a little discussion on slaughter at the beginning of the juz. The nature of the heart. The importance, the central place of the heart. But the heart, sharah, you know, the idea of the opening of the heart. Everything's in the soul. The devil, he's back. The devil's going to come so many times. The devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. Sincerity. You have to qul inna salati wa nusuki. Everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the ploys of the devil, he's back. The story of Adam alayhi salam, the devil's there back. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who's telling all these people to disobey Allah and to reject the words of the prophets and all the blessings Allah's given them to be disobedient, to be ungrateful? It's the devil. So it's all back to the devil. And may Allah protect us from the shaitan. So this brings us to our zooming in verse for today. And this is Sayyiduna Adam and Sayyidina Hawa alayhim as-salam, how they respond to the decision they made that ultimately led to them being removed from the Garden of Paradise. And we can just compare this to how the shaitan responds. Because when the shaitan is disobedient and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that he has to get out and قَالَ خُرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَذْحُورًا, what does he say? He says, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا غْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. You misguided me, and I'm going to go and take it out on them. Yeah, he doesn't want to take personal responsibility. There's no accountability. There's no, I did this, it's my fault, and this is, and I need to humble myself. It's this very arrogant, selfish, self-centered, greedy response. How do our mother and father respond? Qala, they both said, Rabbana, our Lord. Zalamna, we oppressed anfusana, ourselves. We did this to ourselves. We kicked ourselves out of the garden. We did this great dhulm to ourselves. But if you don't forgive us, this is just need. Like, where are we going to be if you don't forgive us? وَتَرْحَمْنَا, and have mercy on us. We will surely, لَنَكُونَنَّ, yeah, like نُون ثَقِيلَ, we will definitely be from the losers. We don't want to be from among the losers. That fixed group of people who are guaranteed loss. That's not where we want to be. We want you to forgive our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins, to allow us to be people of remorse, of tawbah, like our father and mother. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the guiles of shaitan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all over the world. And I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.